Good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. This is Alina Angriano.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear
it's
me?
Good to hear. I can hear you fine. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. This is Alina Angriano.
Okay. Yes, that I did hear. You and your sister came to the class in Sacramento, correct?
Correct.
And the email you sent today, you were indicating that you would be back next week, but you weren't sure you could spend the whole hour?
No, actually, that was yesterday's email, but I ended up staying, although I ended up not showing up to a class that I was supposed to take. I double booked myself, so it's fine. Yeah, that was for yesterday or Monday.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you had that conflict, but hopefully it won't happen again.
Right. I put too much on my plate sometimes.
I know that feeling well. We'll be starting in about 1 minute.
Okay.
I'm getting some static on the line, so if you can press *6, you'll be able to mute your phones and the static. But then whenever you need to ask a question, you can press *6 and be able to be heard.
Okay. Well, my sister Daniela should be coming in shortly. Do you want her to announce herself once she does, or are you good with us just going forward?
No, it's set up so that when somebody comes online, I hear a bell, so it isn't necessary to announce her.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, I'll be just here then.
Okay.
Waiting for it to begin. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
*6.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you're all well. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakar. Anna Bakar, Kedula Chemincha, Tatir, Serura, Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalad, Yudkaf Shin, Vachem tacharem rakame sidkasa tamid gamlem betetresh tzaditav gimel chasim kadosh berov tucha nael adatach het kufet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimelamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Kalumot Shin Kufal, Tzadi Yutta. the letters of the month of Tammuz, the Taf, that created the planet we call the moon, Lavana, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, or cancer. And the eighth verse, well, before we do the eighth verse, I'm going to do the meditation for the three-week period. If you don't have it in front of you to scan the sound of the letters and the words that I will be saying, you'll receive this process on the level of hearing. Tet Dalet, Hey Dalet, right column. Kaf Vav, Zion Vav, left column. Mem Tzadi, Pei Tzadi, center column. These three names have a gematria of 360, which is the same as the letter Shin when it is spelled completely. The word Tzara is the same letters as the word Retzeh. Tzara means troubles. Retzeh means to receive or desire. We inject the energy of the Shin, which is connected to fire, to passion, but it also is composed of three kavavs, representing the three columns of the Tree of Life. It represents balance as well. By injecting the balance into Tzara, we're able to transform the problems into opportunities. By adding the name Adonai to these opportunities, we're able to take the gematria of Retzeh, 295, plus 65 for Adonai, and get to 360 as well. So we've now created another Shin, another aspect of balance. And then we can connect to the phrase Sim Shalom, which is completion and as well as peace and serenity. But the gematria of Sim Shalom is 726, and we've created two Shins, which is a gematria of 720. But we're able to add the six names of God as the Kolels, the three names that we spoke of initially, the Tetragrammaton, the name Elohim, and the name Adonai. These six names added to the two Shins allows us to inject balance into this period. It allows us to inject peace and serenity into this period. And now we can say the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach in a whisper. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. I'm now going to read a verse from the Zohar. I'm reading a verse from the Parasha of Pinchas, section 39, titled The Three Prayers. I'm reading this verse 213. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononehu Levdihu Ikara V'Kdusha Natil Makriv Lemocha Kima Deitmar Lev Sharia Al Tirein Kulyan V'Nun Tirein Keruvin Yachavin Eta V'inun Rachikin Karivin Yemina Usmala V'kuhu Nadlin V'achlin Kolchad Kadka Ya'ut Ad Eit Keshar Kola Kachada. And the heart, which is the main thing in holiness, namely Malchut, takes and offers to the brain, as we have learned. The heart rests over the two kidneys, which are Netzach and Hod, and they are the two cherubs, who are advisors in the secret of the advising kidneys. That is to say, they arrange the bounty that descends from Zeron Pin and Malchut in the secret of the heavens that grind the manna for the righteous, which are righteous and righteousness, namely Yesod and Malchut. And they are far and near, right and left. For when Netzach, which is right, is in control, they are near. But when Hod, which is left, is in control, they are far. And all of them take and eat from the light of the union affected by their sacrifice, each one as befits it, until everything is connected together as one. As we know, the whole parasha of Pinchas is about healing. And this particular section, while it's nominally talking about the three prayers, which are related to the three sacrifices, and it's all unified in different metaphors. So this metaphor of our body, and more than just a metaphor, but the way the body works, the Zohar 2,000 years ago was telling us about cholesterol. It was telling us about how the kidneys, the liver, the kidneys, the gallbladder, the heart, the lungs, all of these different organs work together and keeping us healthy, and how they can go wrong because of our actions that cause them to go wrong. So we get heart disease and kidney failure and chas v'shalom, all these other different kinds of diseases. But by scanning the Zohar of Parashat Pinchas and by doing teshuvah for the actions that we have done that have created these diseases, we are able to transform and return to health. Does anybody have any questions? Excuse me one second. I have some... Grandson is a little bit upset in the background. He doesn't want to go to sleep, which is quite normal for 10 months old. The class tonight is picking up where we left off last week. And there was a lot of confusion last week, so I'm going to start back where the confusion started. If you go to the Hashem website and click on the Revealed Wisdom section, scroll to the matrix at the bottom of the page, and go to the ninth row, you'll see the Advanced Reincarnation section in the second column from the left. When you open that page, we're in class number 17, and it says, there's a handout titled Advanced Reincarnation, class 15, handout number 10, chapter 5, section 5. If you click on that, it will take you directly to where I'll be reading. And as we have some new people tonight, I'll just reaffirm. What we are reading is an English translation of the Gates of Reincarnation from the writings of the Ari through his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. So we have the writings of the teachings of the Ari and a commentary by the people who did the translation. And this is all available online at the Kabbalah online website. And then I can make some commentaries, hopefully to clarify, usually to confuse. So section 5 of chapter 5 is called Connected Levels of Soul. A fascinating concept is explained in the Sabha of Mishpatim regarding the body of someone who has reincarnated many times. In what body does the soul arise in the time of the resurrection? Sabha of Mishpatim is a section of the Zohar in the Parasha of Mishpatim. And it deals with reincarnation. It is where most of our information comes from about reincarnation. The Secret of Servitude is a related article from the translations on the website Kabbalah Online, which were drawn directly from the Zohar. This article, which was I've pasted below, will help with our understanding of this section. And this is where the confusion came last week, because people, the Zohar is not an easy thing to understand. Even if you have the English translation, the concepts are using physical words, words and physical perceptions of things. But they're talking about spiritual ideas, and people have great difficulty making that transition. The Secret of Servitude, Part 1. This is from the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, with the translation and commentary by Rabbi Moshe Miller. The rationale behind reincarnation or transmigration is dealt with in the Zohar in a long passage called Sabha de Mishpatim, a portion of which has been translated below. The central idea is that reincarnation, or Gilgul, has two purposes. One is to rectify sin, and two is to acquire a higher level of soul. The former types of, let me put that in a little different language. One is to achieve tikkun, which is rectifying sin, and the other is to expand the consciousness of people, which is getting a higher level of soul. The former types of souls are the old souls, referred to above. Now, the term old soul is not what we use in normal conversation, as if there is a normal conversation about souls. But in New Age teachings, new souls and old souls have a totally different meaning than what is being used here in the Zohar. The former types of souls are the old souls referred to above, while the latter are new souls, which do not require rectification as such. The following section is based on the verse, "If you buy a Jewish slave, he shall work for 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go free without liability," which is a verse from the Torah in the Parasha of Mishpatim. A Jewish person can become a slave in one of two ways. Due to extreme poverty, he sells himself. In this case, the slave's master is obligated to treat him as a hired laborer rather than as a slave per se, providing for his needs and those of his entire family. This is not the type of slave discussed below. He is sold by the court after conviction as a thief. If he does not have the means to repay what he stole, this is the type of slave discussed in this section. Just to give you a brief understanding, if somebody steals $100, he is required to repay $120, 20% more. Many times a thief would get caught, did not have the ability to pay for what he stole. And the result was he was sold into slavery. that's what we're going to be discussing as part of the reincarnation aspect, not the fact that the person is a thief and is being sold into physical slavery, which doesn't happen anymore. But it does happen in our world in the frame of reincarnation, because people are taken from one set of circumstances, perhaps having been born into a wealthy family in one lifetime, and then brought into another family where they have to work extremely hard for their living and struggle through their process. And the relative relationship of one lifetime to the next is considered slavery. My commentary. These terms, old and new souls, are used by people with a totally different definition than these terms that are used in the writings of the Zohar and in the writings of the Ari. A new soul is a soul that has just split into one of six people due to its inability to achieve its tikkun. His tikkun is easier than it was last lifetime because it's being shared with six, with five other people that he will not ever meet in this lifetime. And in that sharing, the tikkun becomes easier to achieve. This is called an old soul. An old soul is a soul that has blemished his tikkun and taken it to a deeper level of impurity. So in addition to not achieving his tikkun in his last lifetime, he added blemishes to it. He veiled it on a deeper level. In modern language, an old soul is someone who is more righteous and wiser in the ways of the world. Do you see how strong and powerful is Satan that he can change the meaning of words that are dealing with spiritual concepts? How people are going to be totally misled by this change. Yet you are more powerful than Satan. You can defeat him, since he just hides behind the veil of this illusion. Once you see it, you can start to clarify what is the real truth of a situation. It starts with asking the question, what is the cause? And what is the effect in this situation? The soul must be reincarnated, either because of sin or because it failed to completely fulfill its obligations in Torah and mitzvot. That is the reason, the cause of why people reincarnate. Someone dies, they go to hell, that's chas v'shalom, they go to Gehinom, to be cleansed, or they come back into this world as a reincarnated person for the same purpose, and that is to cleanse the mistakes they made in last lifetime. That's called tikkun, that's called correction. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai began his discourse reciting the verse, these are the ordinances, the mishpatim, that you shall place before them. The Targum, which is the Aramaic translation of the Torah, says this is, he translates this verse as, these are the judgments, mishpatim, that you shall arrange before them. There's a significant difference in this understanding. One is called ordinance, and one is called judgment. One is saying placing before them, and one is saying arranging before them. And as I've said repeatedly in the classes, the Kabbalah uses language very explicitly and very informatively. This refers to the coordination of Gilgulim, reincarnation. The singular is Gilgul. Gilgul means wheel. Reincarnation is a series of wheels, the rolling of a wheel. The judgment of souls that must be reincarnated and return to this world to receive the punishments to which they have been condemned. This is a corrupted translation. There is no punishment. There's only cause and effect. If I put my finger in an electric socket and get a shock, is that a punishment? Or is that the effect of making a mistake and putting my finger in the socket? Continuing, if you buy a Jewish slave, he shall work for 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go free without liability. Rabbi Shimon said to his circle of disciples, now is the time to reveal a number of closely guarded secrets concerning Gilgul. If you buy a Jewish slave, he shall work for 6 years. This applies when the soul must be reincarnated, either because of sin or because it failed to completely fulfill its obligations in Torah and mitzvot while alive in this world. Now, if the person's soul is from the aspect of the angel Nemtet, comprising six levels, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Chod, and Yesod, of the world of Briah, then the verse states, he shall work for 6 years. The soul is obligated to undergo Gilgul only until it completes the rectification of those six levels. In regard to that aspect, whence it was taken, the six sephirot of Memtet just mentioned. You've heard the phrase that the good are taken in young, referring to people who die early. And this is one of the aspects. If they reincarnated to complete certain mitzvot, when they've completed those mitzvot, their tikkun is complete, and they are able to leave the world. There's no reason for them to remain in this physical world of pain and suffering. So they'll be removed. That's another explanation other than what was translated here in the English. What this translation is talking about is that the different levels of Sephirot need to be corrected. And so this soul that comes into a body has different aspects of correction. And once they are corrected, it will leave the world. That usually takes a lifetime, not leaving early. This whole idea of this angel Nemtet, which is Hanoch ben Yared, along with the angel Michael. It's a unification of these two aspects. When this soul came into the body, it came in with six aspects to correct. And those six aspects are the six sephirot of Zeranpin. And the idea of Memtet, this angel Memtet, is a code word in the Zohar describing a certain level of consciousness that's dealing with the world of Briah, Olam Briah. Continuing. However, if the soul is from the aspect of the Shekhinah, the Malchut of Atzilut, the seventh of the emotional Sephirot, corresponding to Shabbat, the seventh day, what is written? In the seventh year he shall go free without liability. Because a righteous tzaddik who has merited a soul from Malchut of Atzilut does not have any work in the sense of rectification. Accordingly, the Gilgul for such a soul is not a rectification or a punishment of any sort, but for another purpose, for the sake of benefiting the world and providing leadership. Such a soul is comparable to the Sabbath, the seventh day, when all types of work are prohibited. Indeed, elsewhere, a tzaddik and a Torah scholar are called Shabbat. And since he has no obligation to work, he is not enslaved. Regarding such a soul, it states in the seventh year, he shall go free without liability. Without liability, meaning without being enslaved, without having to make rectification. This is where a lot of the confusion last week was coming, because you weren't understanding these descriptions. You may still not be understanding these descriptions, and if you don't, please ask the questions. Just then, an old man, Saba, literally grandfather in Hebrew, came down to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and said, "If this is so, Rabbi, what is unique about that soul regarding which it states, 'The seventh day is Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your slave, your maidservant, your animal.' Since even your slave and your maidservant, souls from the worlds of Bria and Yetzirah, and your animals, souls from the world of Asiya, are prohibited from doing any work on the Sabbath, just like you, your son, and your daughter. Souls from Atzilut, what difference is there between them?" The Saba is asking Rabbi Shimon, "Rabbi, you're telling us that this man came in as a tzaddik. He came in to help the world. But other people come in to make rectification. They come in from different levels than he is on. He rests on Shabbat, and they rest on Shabbat. He does work in the physical world. They do work in the physical world on the other 6 days. So what is this difference? How can we understand what Mishpatim is saying to us?" That's the question the Saba is asking. Rabbi Shimon replies, Saba, this you are asking? This entire verse is certainly said regarding the soul of a righteous tzaddik, which is from Atzilut. Although it is obligated to descend and be reincarnated on all these levels, even sometimes working as a slave or as a maidservant, and sometimes incarnated in an animal, which are the Ofanim, which is a level of angel, or in any beast into which human souls transmigrate, reincarnate, nevertheless, the verse, "You shall not do any work," is written in regard to it. When the soul of a tzaddik from the world of Atzilut is obligated to descend into this world and be reincarnated even into beasts of the forest, it nevertheless does not have to do any work of rectification. This is the meaning of "you shall not work him like a slave" in regard to a tzaddik, who is the Sabbath day. You shall not work him like a slave, who is the weekday. What Rabbi Shimon is saying to the Saba, you're confusing different verses in the Torah and saying they're applying to different levels of souls and different consciousnesses. But this particular verse that I am just talking about only applies to the idea of a soul that is a tzaddik, a soul that's coming from Malchut of Atzilut. You can't apply these other issues to it. This soul can be incarnated into some very difficult circumstances, but he's doing that to help people, to help mankind. He's not doing it. He's not going into that circumstance, to that lifetime, for his own correction. And therefore, he's not doing work of rectification. He's doing work of elevation, of helping mankind rise to a higher level. And we need to understand that certain verses in the Torah apply to certain their code words. They apply and mean certain things, whereas the same word in a different verse might have a totally different code word attached to it. And we need to be able to see which stuff he wrote it's dealing with, which level of consciousness of the different souls it's dealing with. And that's what the Zohar helps us understand. And that's what the commentary of the Ari and other Kabbalists help us understand. Now, to continue what I read before, or what I wrote as my commentary before everybody was confused by what I had read last week, please note that the Ofanim is one of the race of ten late, one of the ten races of angels. Just like there's a human race, there's ten races of angels. This Zohar verse is explaining that the Tzaddikim can be reincarnated into the race of angels in the world of Yetzirah. This is probably a new idea to most of you. Why would this happen? Because this is the work of the garden that souls are given to do. This may be the other five levels, the five sets of the 7,000 years of Tikkun that the Ari speaks will not be necessary. As I've said before, there are seven sets of 7,000 years, plus the last 1,000 years of that Shabbat, that Jubilee Shabbat, for a total of 50,000 years. We are in the second set of 7,000 years, and most Kabbalists think that there will be another five sets, and this Zohar is talking about the possibility that people who have completed most of their tikkun will come into some of these later incarnations, later worlds, later epochs, periods of time. That's what's being discussed as one understanding of what Rabbi Shimon is saying, just as I explained other understandings of what he's saying prior to this. The Sabbath is the soulmate of the Tzaddik. It's Saba. The Sabbath, which is an only daughter, the Malchut of Atzilut called Bat, meaning daughter, is the soulmate of the Tzaddik, who is also called the Sabbath, as explained above. But since this is so, since she is his soulmate, why is it written in regard to him? And if he shall take another in addition to her, if he has found his soulmate, why would he need an additional mate? He said, this is without a doubt the difference. And if he shall take another refers to the weekday aspect of the Sabbath. The meaning of this phrase will be explained shortly. For there are ordinary weekdays that are not called the weekday aspect of the Sabbath, but rather a spiritually impure slave pool. The Hebrew word is shivcha. And again, this was rather confusing to people last week. So let me read my commentary and see if it gets less confusing, or I'll try and explain it in a different way. Of course, you do not understand this teaching, since the vocabulary is from the language of branches. Let us see if it clarifies below. The old man asked, what is the weekday aspect of the Sabbath? When we pray in the morning, the Orthodox community prays in the morning, we say the psalm of the day. But before we say that psalm, we say a phrase that roughly translates that this psalm of the day is the psalm of the day of the Sabbath. Because the word Sabbath means week. It also means Saturday. It also means the one day of rest. But it also means the seven-day period we call a week. And sometimes it's meant one way, and sometimes it's meant the other way. This is the language of branches, and you have to know which aspect is being spoken about. And that's where your connection to your intuition comes into play. So that when you read these verses and you read this information and you start to say, which one are they talking about? Your intuition is going to provide you that information. So the old man asks, what is the weekday aspect of the Sabbath? Rabbi Shimon replied, this is the Amma, a maidservant, the Bina of Malchut, of the world of Briah. Now that's three levels of Sephirot. Who is the body for the only daughter? The only daughter, the Malchut of the world of Atzilut, is clothed within an Amma, within a maidservant, like the soul is clothed in the body. Regarding her, it is said, and if he shall take another in addition to her. The explanation of this is as follows. Come look, there are souls called Amma, and there are souls called Shivcha. One is a maidservant and one is a slave girl. And there are souls called the daughter of the king. Each is named according to the source where it comes from, or to where it will transmigrate. And in the verse there is also a man, if a man will sell his daughter as a maidservant, regarding whom it is said, the Lord is a man of war, referring to Zeranpin of Atzilut. And there is also another man regarding whom it is said, and the man Gabriel, referring to the archangel deriving from Yevorah of Beriah. This part of the verse is therefore interpreted as if a man, the Holy One, blessed be he, will sell his daughter, a soul from Atzilut, which is called an only daughter, as a maidservant. The soul transmigrates to that level of Briah called Amma. This is the language of branches. You have to know what is the meaning of the code words. Continuing. That is, the Jewish people will not leave the exile in the manner of slaves, hastily and in flight. Therefore, a soul that must be reincarnated, if she is a daughter of the Holy One, blessed be he, if the soul derives from Malchut of Atzilut, do not say that she may be sold into the body of a Gentile. Heaven forbid, for that is where the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination from Samakel, rules. As it is written, I am God. This, the Tetragrammaton, is my name. I will not give my glory to another, to the Yetzer Hara. Thus, if the soul is from Atzilut, even though it transmigrates to the world of Briah, it is not obligated to do the work of rectification, nor is it subject to the Klipot. While it appears in the illusion of the physical world that two different people appear equal, but one has a soul coming from Atzilut, and one has a soul coming from Briah. And ultimately, both souls come from Atzilut, but the one from Briah has veiled itself on certain actions that are wrong. And so we look at the physical people and see them as equal. And yet they are not equal at this moment in this lifetime. And this is all part of the illusion. And the purpose of the illusion is to give us free choice. The purpose of the illusion is to not have us recognize reincarnation, except as we get closer to completing our tikkun, when we need this information to make those final steps of correction. Now, regarding the body in which the daughter of the king, the soul from Atzilut, resides, do not say that she can be sold to the lower crowns of impurity. May heaven have mercy upon us. In this regard, the verse states, the land, Malchut, shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. Now, what is the body of the king's daughter? This is the angel Memtet, who is the Amma, the maidservant of the Shekhinah, since the Shekhinah is clothed within him. Thus the body becomes an Amma, a maidservant for the king's daughter, who is held captive therein, and it nevertheless transmigrates and reincarnates. What is written in this regard? If a man sells his daughter as a maidservant, she shall not go free like the going free of a slave. Rabbi Shimon is telling us in the Zohar that we don't have to go out of exile as slaves like we did in the exile from Egypt. But we come out of this exile as free people. There is another interpretation of the verse. If a man sells, refers to the Holy One, blessed be he, his daughter, refers to the Jewish people, who are the aspect of an only daughter, that of Malchut, which is called daughter. Now, if you will say that they will go free in the future with the advent of the Mashiach, the same way they came out of Egypt, who were from the aspect of a slave, Memtet, and fled from Egypt, the verse states, you shall not depart in haste, nor in flight. That is, the Jewish people will not leave the exile in the manner of slaves, hastily and in flight, in fear of their former slave masters, because they will not be from the aspect of slaves, but rather like the only daughter of the Holy One, blessed be he. Thus, when a person is worthy of the souls from the aspect of the only daughter, it is said regarding this soul, she shall not go free like the going free of a slave. Again, it's a similar discussion of what I had said earlier. Now we are continuing to read the reincarnation book, the Sharei Gilgulim, section 5. Each chapter, this is chapter 5, each chapter is divided into different sections. That's the way the website wanted it presented, because it was too much material to do at one time. So we're just still have not spoken about what section 5 is saying. We've just been given this information about these different code words, and that will help us understand Section 5. Previously, we learned that in the time of the resurrection, the body will arise with those parts of the soul that were rectified in the lifetime of each particular body. Is the Rav just repeating himself here, or is he trying to teach something new? This is a question from the commentator, Moshe Miller. Not Moshe Miller, from Shabtai Teicher. My commentary. You students need to speak up here and answer that question. I'm not going to put you to the test tonight, but when I ask this kind of question in this writing, it's really designed to have you start to think differently than you have done so before. My job as a teacher is not to spoon feed you, but to assist you in breaking the klipot, the klipot that is covering your brain, the klipot that veils you from seeing the truth. But only you can break that. And if you expect to be spoon-fed only, you'll never break it. So when I ask you these kinds of questions and say, here's where you should speak up, you should be speaking to yourself. What is the answer to the question I'm raising? Does a qualified Kabbalah teacher ever repeat himself? Does he ever repeat himself for no reason? Furthermore, it seems at first glance that the end of this chapter consists of four disparate points without any connection to each other or to what came beforehand. However, an attempt will be made to try to present them as a unified idea, or at least the first three of them, and also tie them to the preceding subjects of this chapter. Now, this is where the translator is telling you he's corrupting the translation, because he doesn't understand what the teacher is trying to present, and he's translating from Aramaic into English and not going through the Hebrew. He is causing us to get confused on an even deeper level. So be careful. Previously, where multiple Gilgulim and multiple Iborim were discussed, we learned that there is a chain of souls from higher to lower. The higher levels of soul descend as Iborim to assist the lower levels to accomplish tikkun. As we will see, all the various levels are also interconnected. What is the difference between a Gilgul and an Ibor? The Gilgul comes into the body at birth. The Ibor comes into the body sometime after the age of 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy. The Ibor may leave at any time. If it doesn't like what the other components of the soul are doing, it'll leave. The Gilgul does not have that choice. It comes in at birth and must remain until death. We have already explained earlier what the introduction to Tikkunim says regarding the verse, like a bird that wanders from her nest. The divine presence goes down amongst the Klipot in exile. She is joined there by the souls of the Tzaddikim. And we have discussed what the Zohar says in Parashat Pikudei, with respect to the Shekhinah. She is exiled among the Klipot until her legs are immersed in impurity. Please understand this is a metaphor. We need to understand it as a metaphor. What is the metaphor really telling us? What does it mean that your legs are dirty, immersed in impurity? The lowest sefirot of the Shekhinah are called her legs. That's Netzach Hod, are the legs. Just look at your Tikkun HaNefesh. Netzach and Hod are the legs. They descend to the deepest place of impurity and exile among the Klipot, as the verse in Proverbs says, her feet go down to death. Death meaning not death in the sense of complete the end of life, but death meaning separated from God. We have to understand the code words that are being used throughout the Torah. We also spoke about how the souls of righteous people are exiled with the Shekhinah in the Klipot as well. The souls of the Tzaddikim descended from the soul body of Adam are also exiled into the realm of the Klipot. Each one of them covers a different part of the body of the Shekhinah, according to the part of the soul body of Adam from which they came. In earlier times, the souls that are exiled with her are the sparks and sections from the levels on which the Shekhinah stood at that time. It is the same in every generation. The souls of these generations are from the level of the legs. In each generation, the Shekhinah descends lower and stands on a less elevated level. The souls of each succeeding generation are the souls associated with her on each subsequent lower level. As she goes down to the lower levels, it is said that she descends to the feet, or to the legs, or to the heels. Correspondingly, the souls of the later generations are those associated with her feet and legs and heels. Thus, at this time in history, the Shekhinah has already descended until the legs and the souls of these generations are from the level of the legs. Every soul has many parts and many sparks. Since all the souls were exiled among the Klipot together with the Shekhinah, those earlier souls that were already rectified and elevated, now they descend to direct and correct the lower cells in order to rectify them, to assist them in rectifying themselves. Thus, we find that every soul has many parts and many sparks, and they are all called a single soul. And this is true for all the souls. My name is Hanoch. That's not my soul name. But Hanoch consists of 613 parts of a soul. The soul Hanoch has many parts, and each one of those parts has many sparks. A body can be powered, so to speak, by one spark in one part of the soul, in one part of the body. It's all it takes to power the body. You've heard of people who are sickly, and you've heard of people who are extremely strong. One of the possible explanations for that is the number of parts of the soul that are in that body. The main point here seems to be the stress that they are called a single soul. Indeed, this terminology was also used in section 1 in reference to multiple Gilgulim. The Rav, referring to Rabbi Isaac Luria, wrote there that they are called one nefesh. The intention there, it seems, was also to stress the unity and interconnectedness of the souls, which enables them to join together in one reincarnation and to assist each other to achieve correction, tikkun. A given body has 613 parts. That means there are 613 parts of a soul in that body. The relationship of these 613 parts of the soul are all interrelated. They're unified. There's a relationship between them and among them. But what is it? That's not being explained yet. When the time for resurrection arrives, each body will take its portion of soul according to the level that was rectified in its time. Because of their interconnectedness, they are like one soul. But they're not one soul. They're parts of a soul that come together and act as one soul. There's a difference between being in unity and acting in unity. Previously in Chapter 4, Section 3, we learn that parts of one soul that are rectified in different lifetimes will resurrect with the body in whose lifetime that part of the soul was rectified. Here, however, we are learning that many souls can come together into a single body to assist the main soul of that Gilgul. Because of their interconnectedness, they are acting like one soul. Nevertheless, in the time of the resurrection, each part will arise in the body in whose lifetime it was rectified. For example, a soul that originated from a level in close proximity to that of the soul body of Adam, which was rectified and elevated in an earlier generation, can come down into a body together with a soul from the legs in order to assist the latter in achieving tikkun. In the time of the resurrection, that earlier soul will not be cast down to the level of the legs. It will resurrect together with the body in whose lifetime it was rectified. Note, the following is a more specific example. The souls that derive from the head of the soul body of Adam can be seen as one single part suf. A partsuf is a structure of 10 sephirot, but that's an intellectual statement. It needs to be experienced. In other words, if we would look at the head under a Lurianic microscope, we would see a partsuf with 248 limbs and 365 sinews. The origin of some of the souls in that partsuf would be designated as the head of the head. Others would be the torso of the head. Others would be the legs of the head. The soul that comes from the torso of the head are really connected to all the torsos throughout the soul body of Adam. Thus, the soul from the torso of the head might come to assist a soul from the torso of the legs. In the same way, all the legs are connected to etc., etc., in such a way that all their details and particulars are interconnected and interchangeable. Nevertheless, in the time of the resurrection, they will all go back to their proper places. My commentary. This is true of the parts of the soul that come as Iburim. Those parts that were corrected in a double Gilgul will still need to resurrect in a body that is separate from other bodies that house the other parts of that soul. Remember, a double Gilgul is a term that refers to a nefesh, a soul that has corrected a little bit of itself, but not most of it is not yet corrected. But it will come with another nefesh, another soul, that has those parts that it hasn't corrected yet, or that has those parts that it had corrected, so that together the two different souls are working together to achieve correction. And that's called a double Gilgul, and we spoke about that earlier in the writings. There are teachings of Kabbalah that indicate that during the last 1,000 years, there will still be some deaths and some births, which indicate that tikkun is still going on. either this cocoon process will have different roles, or there will need to be a way for these soul parts caught separate from the main part of their soul to find their way back to the main part of their soul. How do you think that will be accomplished? It's a rhetorical question for you to answer by yourselves. Your homework, if you choose to accept it, is to write an essay explaining how that will work, how you think that will work. This is a good exercise for your mental and emotional Kabbalistic training. The commentaries that I read up till now, except one identified as my own, were from Shabtai Pfeiffer. This is where we ended last week. This is where we're ending tonight because our time is up. Does anybody have any questions? I'm going to, if you've pressed star 6 before, go ahead and press star 6 again so you can be heard. Are there any questions? I'm not hearing any, so I'll just make some quick announcements, reminding you all that this Thursday night at 10 o'clock will be a Zohar class followed by an all-night study connecting to Joseph HaTzadik, who allows us to utilize his energy to bring positivity and balance and peace into this period of negativity. That's why he has chosen to leave on the 27th day of Tammuz, which is in the middle of the, almost exactly in the middle of the three-week period. Saturday night, there will be a study, also a Zohar study, but a connection to the Hilulah of Rashi. It will not be an all-night study, but there'll be a few hours. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., we will begin our preparation for the holiday of Tisha B'Av. And Monday at 5 a.m., we have the sixth class in the Sefer Yetzirah series. Last week, we taught the prophetic position. And this week we will be teaching some additional concepts that are always quite interesting. The basic class at 5:30 p.m. Monday in Sacramento is going to be dealing with binding by striking. And as you should know, and I'll constantly repeat, this is the strongest tool we have, and it's a tool that takes a lifetime study, and we can all use refreshers in binding by striking. So please join us. And at 8:30, we have the next class in our four phases, which we are going to be transitioning to another subject. And depending on what the people of that class want to learn is what it will be. That has yet to be determined. And this Tuesday, a week from tonight at 8:30, we will continue with the 18th class in this series of advanced reincarnation. And one other final thing is our Rosh Chodesh connection. Our Rosh Chodesh connection is Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, which will be at 9 o'clock, I believe it's scheduled for, but please check the email to be sure if it's either 9 or 10. The month of Av is rapidly approaching. There is a transition of the month, but it's still part of the three-week period for a 9 days. And those 9 days is an elevated negative period. So we'll talk about how to cope with that and what tools to utilize. Does anybody have any questions before I wish you a beautiful evening and a beautiful week?
For the Thursday night class on Joseph, is that 10 p.m. or 10 a.m.?
10 p.m.
Oh, 10 o'clock p.m.?
10 p.m., yes.
And is that this same technology with the phone?
Yes, it's the same. The telephone conference call, or if some people want to use the video conferencing and using Ubu, that's available as well. Although most people don't seem to want to use that anymore. And that class will go until somebody, either I fall asleep, God forbid, or somebody, there's nobody left on the phone listening. It's okay. Scheduled to end around 6 a.m.
Oh, my word.
Friday morning. Because Joseph is an amazing energy, and when there's positivity that we can connect to in this period, the Kabbalists are energy junkies. And so we try and get as much positivity as we can.
So now, if you were to have to, say, hang up for a couple hours, are you able to call the number once again to reconnect?
If you have to work Friday morning and you're going to go to, you want to join us at 10 p.m. and have to go to sleep at 11, you go to sleep. You just drop out of the call. You don't have to even say anything. It's the energy is there for you to utilize. It's there for you to share. I'm sharing whatever I'm able to channel, whatever I'm able to teach, I'm sharing it with you. If you're there, you receive it. If you're not there, there's a connection between student and teacher that is not as strong as when it's physically related. But it's still getting some energy.
But what I'm wondering is, say, for someone who's working a knock shift and they have to hang up because of a work situation, but then once that's resolved, they want to log back on, is that option available for them to, say, hang up and then call back and reconnect, or would that not work?
No, that does work. As long as there's me and somebody else on the line, the conference call is still working.
Okay.
The only time I ever hang up is when there's nobody left on the line. Or there's, you know, God forbid, there have been a few times where I've fallen asleep because I've, you know, being human, and, you know, I might have been up the whole night before with my grandson. So you just never know what's going to happen.
Right. Okay, well, that'll be interesting. Neela, do you have any questions? She missed a little early on that I thought was very interesting, that I'm sure she would as well. So this will be available to replay in a couple hours?
As soon as it's available, I send it out to the list of people who want to receive it. So I will add you to that list if you like.
Sure, you can do that, and I can give you her email as well, right, Dan? Because she missed some parts that I have some questions on, but I would rather wait for her to hear it too, so then once I ask the questions, her and I at least can be on the same page.
Understood. I would suggest you send me an email with her email address, rather than put it on the conference call, which is going to be recorded for posterity.
Okay.
So no, send me her email address. I'll add both of you to the list that I send out, all of the recordings. If you don't feel like listening to a particular recording, just delete the email. I don't feel any pain when you do that.
Okay. I'm surprised you can see that if we delete an email.
There's a lot of things that people don't understand what the human being is capable of.
Well, this technology is certainly new to me, so looking forward to
it. Are there any other questions? Yes, we all are. Is there any other question from anybody else? Everybody have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week, and we'll speak soon.
You the same.
Shalom, you all.